The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Is 2022 the year that it is?
It's been a completely bizarre 2 years that we've had here that nothing any of us could have predicted. And my crystal ball's as foggy as any expert's crystal ball. But I think what we're going to see happening is not an automatic switch going on and off where all of a sudden we're not in a pandemic the next day. But instead what you're going to see is kind of a slow decline in cases happening around the world. You're going to see different areas declaring their emergencies being over. And then all of a sudden it's going to say, well, maybe we're not in this pandemic anymore. It's kind of a squishy topic and a squishy way to do that. But that's what we're going to happen. We're going to get an endemic virus, which means we're going to be living with it, not just this coming year, but years on. But I think it will end this year.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, great to be with you. Thank you for joining me. And let's talk a little bit more about that. The end of the pandemic. That's a question on everyone's mind, right? Will we see the end of the pandemic in the not too distant future? Are we now, you know, experiencing that? You just heard that soundbite there. There are some raising this question. Is Omicron ending the pandemic? Are we now just going to deal with an endemic? Or is this going to be worse than we thought? Are we not out of the woods yet? You know, everybody is feeling a little more secure, but it's the worst to come. Yesterday, I had the great privilege of speaking to Dr. Robert Tobolli, an infectious disease doctor who deals with a lot of this on the air. And then earlier today, I saw something the Holy Father said, and I thought I'd share it with you, and maybe we can take a look at the end of this pandemic. Let me share first. I'll share with you what the Holy Father had to say here. It was actually last week that he told some members of the Catholic press that being informed about COVID-19, about vaccines, he called that a human right. He says, being informed about COVID-19 and the vaccines is a human right. And I'll quote him here. He says, to be properly informed, he said, to be helped to understand situations based on scientific data and not fake news is a human right, end of quote. He also said, contributing often unwittingly to climate is the sheer volume of allegedly scientific information, comments, and opinion, which ends up causing confusion to the reader and listener, end of quote. But he did completely dismiss those who have questions about what is being stated as fact. And his reason for that is science. He says science itself is a constant process of advancing towards the solution of problems. He says reality is always more complex than we think, and we must respect the doubts and the concerns and the questions that people raise, seeking to accompany them without ever dismissing them, end of quote. So if you read or you heard Pope Francis simply dismiss those who are questioning the mainstream scientific opinion on COVID, he did not. And isn't this the case? So often the Holy Father says it's okay to use contraception. The Holy Father says, you know, parents accept your, gay children. And you have to define what he says. Of course, we're supposed to love anyone with that proclivity, right? Clearly, that's the case. You know, if you have a child, you're going to love them, but not necessarily the act itself. And so often they'll take something the Holy Father says or does, and they'll take it out of context. So I just thought I'd bring a little clarity to what the Holy Father had to say. I want to talk about the end of the pandemic today. I want to talk about masks. I want to talk about mandates. If you live in Canada, you are probably seeing for yourself this incredible trucker rebellion. I'll talk maybe a little bit more about it in the show tomorrow. A lot of truckers saying we've had enough. Okay, no more mandates here. And they're shutting down the Capitol. Right now they're being threatened with arrest because they're blocking a road that leads into the United States in Montana. And you know, the police there are saying, hey, we're going to have to arrest these guys. And if they call tow trucks to haul the rigs, the tow truck drivers are saying, sorry, we can't really help. Our guys are out with COVID. So people really behind these guys. If you live in Switzerland, you're probably happy to see your government lifting some of those restrictions because they are. I reported yesterday about England and Norway, right? They're rejoicing that the mandates are being lifted altogether. And this is especially true in Britain for healthcare workers who no longer need to show that they've been vaccinated in order to work. And I think this is kind of a very consistent vibe that we're seeing around not just the country, but around the world. People are tired. They want to get on with life. Minnesota. Let's talk about one of our great northern states, right? In Minnesota, the government is doing something a little different. He's trying to get every which way, you know, he's just trying to get more people vaccinated. He's trying to find whatever way he can to get more people vaccinated. The state's health department said that any priest or pastor who visits a long-term care facility or any person who delivers supplies to such a facility, you've got to be fully vaccinated. What's interesting is that the same requirement does not apply to people who are visiting. So for that local priest or pastor, you need to be vaxxed. If it's, you know, grandma's grandson coming for a visit, no biggie. That's the problem I see with so much of this. There's not a consistent ethic here. There's not a consistent rule of law. There's, you know, there's these great disconnects. And I think people, they don't like it. I mean, you saw this footage of the governor of California not wearing a mask, right? When everybody in the stadium, he was attending a football game, should be, oh, I just took it off for a few seconds to take a take this photograph. There's other video footage and photographs that show that that's not the case, you know? And we got this double standard, you know? Don't do as I say, right? Do as I tell you, pretty much is what they're saying, you know? The Army is going to start discharging members who are refusing to be vaccinated. Companies like Hershey, you know, who doesn't like good dark Hershey chocolate, right? Or T-Mobile, who's acquired Sprint recently. They're getting rid of employees, too, if they're not vaccinated. They're going to be letting these people go. The clothing company Carhartt is maintaining a vaccine mandate, and that brought a call for a boycott from a company that, you know, if you're familiar with it, that caters mostly to rural America. So you see the frustration level rise. There was a new report that came out. I mentioned it in the very beginning of the broadcast today from Johns Hopkins University. It shows that lockdowns that, you know, that came and really are still in place in a lot of places, they're not effective. You know, they haven't been effective in stopping COVID. In fact, while they haven't helped to spread it, they've actually had a deleterious or a negative or maybe even a stronger word, a devastating impact, right, on our society, and more so than even the disease itself. The authors of the study, they said that, and I'll quote them, they say, quote, they have contributed to reducing economic activity, raising unemployment, reducing schooling, causing political unrest, contributing to domestic violence, and undermining liberal democracy. It comes from Johns Hopkins University. So if this is true, what do we do? Where do we go? When do we get rid of some of these mandates? You know, I've spoken in the past about masks. Do they work? I was in a restaurant for breakfast with one of my producers not too long ago and walked in, and the lady behind the desk was wearing a mask and was down below her chin. I said, oh, I don't like them either. I can't stand these. She went off. But in the state of Illinois, you have to wear a mask everywhere that you go. My next guest, he was on, he debated this issue in the past. He's not a big believer in masks at all. And I said, hey, let's bring him back. Let's look at where we are with mandates. What kind of damage have they done? And what do we need to do to move on as a country and as a people? Dr. John Littell joins me this afternoon. He's a family practice physician in solo practice in Florida, and he's the author of a great book you may want to check out. It's called The Hidden Truth, A Deception in Women's Healthcare. You can learn more about Dr. Littell at johnlittellmd.com. That's johnlittellmd.com. Hey, doctor, thank you. Thanks for your writing. Thanks for joining me today. It's good to talk with you.
It's always good to be with you, Drew, and let me start by praying for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us, right? And on the whole world. And I feel like every one of your listeners, I saw myself, when we've prayed that prayer the last 2 years, we've been asking the Lord to have mercy on this world of ours where anger is out of control, fear is out of control, and family lives and individual lives. I mean, I've been working like a dog, and I'm so happy I could find this time to be with you because I literally just left the hospital with a patient who's in the ICU with COVID on a BiPAP, which is, and, you know, said, Dr. Littell, I need help to keep off the ventilator. And I'm doing stuff that a lot of doctors are not doing. And we can talk about that. But the reality is there's been a lot of stuff not done to help people survive with COVID. And there's been a lot of stuff done to perpetuate fear. And of course, I was there with you a year ago or more saying putting masks on children, wearing masks left and right was just going to do more and more to perpetuate fear. And it did. It's been very successful. Oh, my Lord, the number of children who still are wearing masks. I just got back from a trip to Idaho for a family funeral, and I saw the family of four kids trying to get on the plane. A little girl, 3 years old, wouldn't wear her mask. I went up to them. I said, you really don't have to put it on her. You don't. I said, they're not going to give you a hard time. And sure enough, the attendants on the planes were so wonderful. I mean, every so often there's an exception, but they were wonderful with this family, with their children. And I said, don't traumatize her, please. It made me want to cry. And so, you know, I just see with. And then I talked to them about other issues with the mask and why, you know, if they have a doctor who's telling them that they have to wear masks to go into the pediatrician's office, then find another pediatrician, honestly, because the amount of psychological harm that this has done to children is, in many people's estimation, irreparable. Irreparable because, you know, Drew, and all my videos, you can go to John Littell on YouTube. They took some down, but I did one recently that's still up there. And I mentioned how I'm old enough to remember the Cold War. I was a fifth and sixth grader, and we used to have these drills, actually younger than that, third grade, where you go out in the hallway, put your hands over the back of your head, and they'd have the fire alarm. And it was like mimicking what would happen if they were bombing our school. This is, you know, it happened right up until the 60s. This kind of a reaction is exactly what you're seeing in these children right now who for the last 2 years have been told, if you don't put a mask over your face, you might die, or your grandpa might die, or your mom. And then they see people who have died, and they're like, is it my fault? Could that have done? I mean, very, 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 I say it's been evil, frankly, when we know that children were not a source, at least these small children, for sure. So that's the mask issue. There's other issues I know you want to touch on today, and thanks for having me, Bob.
No, I'm delighted to have you. I really am, Doctor. Appreciate your voice. If you want to join us, too, you can dial in. It's 888-914-9149. Let's jump right into the phones. I know a lot of people call, and time goes by quickly. Katie is listening in San Diego. She's a registered nurse. Katie, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Littell.
Hi. Oh, thank you so much. I love Relevant Radio, and I love your show, and I listen as much as possible. I've been a registered nurse for a number of years. It'll be 25 years soon. Wow. So I have a little bit of experience as well, like the doctor, and I agree with him. But there are a couple of things when you opened up and you posed questions. Well, number one, the vaccines have never been proven to be successful. You know, you can say what you want, just like a pew can sit in a church doesn't make it a Christian. So when you say you may get COVID less virulent and then perhaps without the vaccine, that's your guess. That's someone's personal opinion that is not backed up. And you know how they keep calling the science? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not science. That's somebody's supposition after they fear-mongered people for a year and a half. So this vaccine that I see is a total failure. I also see that people that are from this vaccine, and I have a personal coworker, 48 years old, healthy, non-smoker, athletic, left a widow and two teenage kids, died after his first dose. I have a cousin in New York, same thing. I told him not to do it, and he died too. So how is their life any less important than a person who said, well, I know somebody that died of COVID. Well, yeah, and I know somebody that died of old age, lung cancer. I mean, all different kinds of things. So there's this weird correlation of dying from the vaccine versus a comorbidity and possibly COVID that seems to make them more important socially. But I also see that doctors are not, and I'm making a blanket statement, so nothing towards you, doctor, is that people are not, doctors are not treating people early on. And I really don't care. I don't care that people say the hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are ineffective, because they're not. That's just simply a lie. I won't even say they're misinformed. You know, I've always been a Christian and a truthful Christian, and, you know, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yep. I don't dance around tactfulness.
Katie, I'll tell you.
You know, straight.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Let me just pick up on a couple points. I know you got a lot to say, and I love your passion, Doctor. As a registered nurse, I mean, she's been dealing with this as you have been for 2 years now. There was, and there still is, the mindset that if you are vaccinated and you're boosted, if you get COVID, then you're not going to get it as bad. Okay. Let's talk about that particular point, too, because she brought that up. She says there's no evidence for that at all. But that's one of the big things that was being said to make sure you went out and you got vaccinated, because, you know, if you had a comorbidity or you fell into a certain demographic, you should definitely be vaccinated. But now we're seeing that, you know, the vaccine really, there's so many different variants that that initial concoction is pretty ineffectual against these latest, these latter variants, in particular Omicron.
Well, you know, Drew, and by the way, thank you. Everything that nurse has said is what I've been saying on our YouTube and in general for 2 years. I've been using ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, more than any doctor I know in the state of Florida. And thank God my daughter joined my practice in July. I'm sure she's tired of prescribing these things, but they do work. This is one reason why I've never been a huge fan of the vaccine, because I saw how effective, safe and effective early treatment was, without knowing really how safe and effective, or any of us could really never know how safe and effective the vaccines were. So you're right in saying one thing with the new variant, especially with the Omicron variant. Yeah, sure. I mean, I just came back from the hospital. Half of the patients in the hospital with COVID are vaccinated, half are not. This is not an issue of vaccinated or unvaccinated anymore. It's the reality. That's why they're dropping the mandates in these other countries. They're thankful. We are all thankful that the Omicron variant, that the virus itself evolved into a form which was less lethal. You've all heard that. But nonetheless, if you're an older person with comorbidities, it has caused, as with my patient I just described, some complications. Now, I need to tell you this. Yeah. When you hear the Holy Father talk about we need to go by the science and correct information, can I just read to you, this is real quick, from my immunology textbook. I was at George Washington University a long time ago in the 80s, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is what it says. The decision to immunize a specific person against a specific pathogen is a complex judgment based upon things. Number one, an assessment of the risk of infection. And by the way, that we know the vaccines don't stop people from getting infected. Number two, the consequences of a natural unmodified illness for each person. So the consequences for a child, the consequences for an obese diabetic male in his
60s. Hey, doctor, I don't mean to interrupt you. Doctor, hold the thought. Your audio seems to be breaking up a little bit, so we just want to make sure we got a strong connection with you. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can pick it back up. I'd love to hear what you've got to say. And if you want to join the conversation, I'll open the phones. I'll go back into them at 888-914-9149. 2 years into the pandemic, reports are indicating that the coronavirus is killing Americans at a far higher rate than people in other wealthy nations. And it is a sobering distinction that we here in America bear. I'd like to get the doctor's take on that and why. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining me. We are talking right now about the end of COVID. I had had the opportunity to see a couple reports, and I thought it was well worth revisiting. Yesterday, we talked about, you know, so many of the vaccines and the approach to it, but mandates. We've got truckers up in the north shutting down their capital, now threatened with arrests. You've got major corporations like Carhartt and Hershey's and T-Mobile firing employees. Yet you've got other nations saying enough is enough. I shared about England nixing these mandates, and even studies coming out saying that, look, the lockdowns, the masks are doing more harm than help. And I thought, look, let's just talk about it. Dr. John Littell is a very noted and very gifted physician. He's joined me probably about a year ago And he was saying stuff that was incredibly unpopular. And to be honest with you, it almost made me uncomfortable because I was thinking, how can you say masks don't work, right? How can you say a lockdown is not good for a certain period of time to somehow halt the spread? You know what? Apparently it's not. Apparently the science is playing out with that, and a lot of people are just tired. They want to move on. I saw another report today that COVID is killing more in the U.S. than any other wealthy nation. You know, and lawmakers here are desperate to turn the page on the pandemic. European leaders have begun to. But again, Omicron is now receding. But boy, the death toll in this country is unbelievable. Doctor, I want you to get to that point, but I know your audio was breaking up when we were talking a few moments ago. So if you can get quickly to your other points, we'll go back to the phones and address some of these issues as well.
No, thanks, Drew. I just was making a point that from my textbooks from 40-plus years ago, the decision to immunize every individual is based on the five main factors, with the assessment of the patients at risk of getting the infection, the consequences of that infection for the individual, which for a child or a healthy adolescent or an athlete or a soldier is minimal, right? The availability of a safe and effective immunogen, which is what we're giving, in this case it's messenger RNA, meaning do we prove that this was safe and effective? And lastly, the duration of the effect, which we're finding out that the duration of the vaccine-induced immunity is at most 6 months compared to the natural immunity that people get. So the three populations who are the least affected right now, least affected by Omicron, number one are the young and healthy folks. Number two are those who've already had COVID, like myself, and have natural immunity. And I will say this much, there's a little bit of a layer of protection for the vaccinated folks, but don't delude themselves because they're getting sick too. They might not get the bad lethal effects from Delta, but with Omicron and future variants, it's going to wear off. Their immunity is going to wear off.
If you could answer for me, Doctor, why is the U.S. death rate higher than other nations? I mean, what's going on in the states that makes us so different?
Well, it's from state to state, right? Let's look at different states. Florida has actually had a good track record, except when the Delta variant immigrants came down from, which we saw here. We had a huge blip in January when the folks came down from New Jersey and up north with their Delta variants, and then we were scrambling to keep them out of the hospitals. But I would say several things. Number one is the United States, unlike many other countries, has forbidden physicians from prescribing life-saving remedies in the early stages, all right? If you're actually better off living in Africa or South America and parts of Europe than in America if you want to get your hands on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, especially ivermectin. During the Delta variant, oh, my Lord, was that a struggle for all of us. Thank God for some compounding pharmacists, some other heroic pharmacists who work for established pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens and Publix, whatever. And they would say to me, Dr. Littell, I've really been told I can't do this, but I'm going to because I believe it. My mother is alive because of this, my father. So thank God we've had some heroic pharmacists out there who kind of go against the grain, and heroic physicians. But I'll tell you, the physicians are few in number. This country right now, we have more physicians who are under the thumb of hospitals and insurance companies than ever before. You can't find an independent family doctor hardly anywhere. I mean, I'm one of them, but we're a dying breed, my friend. I'm sorry to say.
Well, weren't you given a hard time for writing scripts for hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin?
I've been given a hard time for everything that could happen. I had a family member visiting their loved one, their husband, when he was dying. I was fined and suspended from the hospital because I just wanted him to see this man before he died. I was also threatened with getting kicked off as a department head because I brought up early treatment at a staff meeting, and they said this is not going to be discussed. We expect our physicians to be lockstep with us in our policies, and what you're saying does not go along with our hospital policy. And, you know, I can go on and on about the fights that I've had with hospitals. I've been a leader in the hospitals. But thank God, you know what happens, Drew? One by one, the head of cardiology, the obstetricians, the pathologists come up to me in the doctor's lounge and say, you go for it. You're doing the right thing. Hey, and then they call me when their loved ones are sick. Would you please prescribe this? But they're not in a position to speak out because they're employed by the hospitals. They have exclusive contracts. My goodness, it's a real struggle out there, Drew.
All right, we'll take a few calls if you want to get in on the conversation. It's 888-914-9149, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Karen, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you very much. And Dr. John Littell, God bless you. Thank you for your heroic and probably sometimes a little bit frightening efforts. I am 64, absolutely no comorbidities, no medications, healthy individual, have not had COVID. I'm a mask wearer personally. I just don't like to be around people who are coughing and sneezing. I had my healthiest year last year. I've been good. This past weekend, I walked into an event, a women's event, and I looked at it and I assessed, I'm going to get, this is dangerous. The people are too crammed, too close together. I knew it was risky. I went in and sure enough, I've got COVID, tested positive last night, cold symptoms, 104, fever, it's up and down. And I've had worse things in my life, like vertigo. This isn't bad. Here's my question, though. I'm isolating, keeping away from everybody, and that's great. My question is, how can I possibly get my hands on ivermectin or hydrochloroquine? What is the difference once you have it? Is one going to help you get over it quicker? Is it even possible to get it? I'm in the Milwaukee area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you, thank you for that call. I did a 13-minute video. I don't make money off of YouTube, but anyway, it's out there on what to do with Omicron. But I will say that we've all in agreement that hydroxychloroquine is the drug to help minimize, and we know this, it minimizes viral replication and uptake in the early stages of this disease that you now have. And I'm presuming this is Omicron, but you're up in Milwaukee. And I don't know the incidence of Delta up there, if there are still people in hospitals on ventilators and whatnot. If there are, then you may want to throw in some ivermectin. And again, I mentioned you need to find a doctor. I've been prescribing all over the country. I'm not looking for, we work until 11 o'clock at night, but there are other doctors who are doing the same thing. So you can go online and go to resources that you know, FLCCC or American Academy of Physicians and Surgeons are two, and I realize that's saying a lot in a short period of time. You can find resources for physicians who prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine to people throughout the country. There's another group, My Free Doctor, that does telemedicine. And, of course, we're doing it through our office. But I want to say this much. After I'm off the call here, I'm going to be driving to visit one of the most heroic priests in Florida who's also been suffering for 9 days. Thank God he's on the mend. This Omicron variant, as I said in my video, it can hang in there for a couple of weeks. Don't be surprised if it does. Your fever, your chills, your back pain, your headache, but it does not penetrate the lung tissue. We're not, thank God, seeing people having to end up on ventilators at all with this. But you want to double down on your vitamin D, your C, your zinc, your fluids. The first 5 days, consider yourself infectious. By the way, Dr. Fauci and I agree about that. five days, you're not infectious or contagious after that. And don't forget good nutrition, though. Chicken broth. It's a good old. Get someone to make a good pot of chicken soup for you, please. And don't worry about the fevers. They're part of the process of healing. They stick around. So, yeah, I would just say hydroxychloroquine is easy to get, frankly, and no one's refusing people that. It's 200 milligrams twice a day. I can't hurt you. If you can find someone to prescribe that. If you don't find anyone, call my office after we get off. We can probably get it for you tomorrow, okay?
Doctor, thank you. Dr. John Littell is my guest. I want to talk about where we are. You're talking about Omicron. We had beta and Delta and so many other variants. I had seen an article where Africa might have reached the pandemic's holy grail, so to speak. And they were talking about a couple different countries in there, Kenya, Madagascar, South Africa, Malawi. And they find the blood samples of people they've taken to Malawi. The number of deaths were, you know, a fraction of what we're seeing around the world. Incredibly low, less than 5% of Malawians have been fully vaccinated, and yet they have this incredible resistance to the disease. And the rationale or the theory behind their resilience to this is that they probably have built it due to prior exposure to early variants, because they have not received all these vaccinations. Are we doing ourselves a disservice by injection after injection after injection? Should we, with these less virulent or these less deadly variants like Omicron, and I guess if you have a comorbidity or some other issue, you should definitely safeguard yourself, but are we almost better off getting it, building up a natural immunity, and watching this thing slowly phase out?
I'm so glad you brought up Africa, Drew, because yes, the answer is, natural immunity is superior. It's in all my textbooks from the 80s. It's something that for some reason was set aside with COVID, that all of a sudden vaccine-induced immunity was superior to natural immunity. We've never said that about any disease. We know that's bogus. What happened in Africa and what happened in India, you look at Uttar Pradesh, that's a country in India that has 250 million people. Excuse me, a state, one state in India with 250 million people with, again, less than 5% vaccinated, had the lowest morbidity, mortality rate from COVID. And what they also did in there is that they would hand out ivermectin kits to anyone in the early stages. In Africa, they've been using ivermectin for decades to prevent river blindness, a parasitic infection. And so in the northern parts of Africa, these people have been protected. In most of Africa and India, quinine is readily available. Hydroxychloroquine is readily available. They're used to taking it with the first signs of a fever because of the malaria incidents. So all of these reasons together, plus not having been vaccinated, developing natural resistance. Now, I can give you another example. In Uganda, we have a sister parish in Uganda. And just like what's happening in our school here, which I'm not going to get into the names because it's upsetting to me, they mandated that every child, every teacher be vaccinated. And they had the highest incidence of COVID mortality and morbidity in that area where they were mandating the vaccine. Uganda was just sailing with no vaccines until somebody got the smart idea to make vaccines mandatory in these Catholic schools in Uganda. So, yeah, we got a problem. And some of the higher ups in our own church have been doing the same thing. And so I just would say, you said at the very beginning, we need a consistent ethic. I am a physician who is grounded in the natural law. That's called Hippocratic medicine. The Catholic faith is grounded in the natural law. And the way God made our bodies will always be superior if we follow the way our immune system should work. That's always going to be better than somebody injecting us with bits of messenger RNA that, let's face it, were derived from aborted fetuses, which is true with Pfizer and Moderna.
Yeah, okay. We'll go back to the phones, take another call or two. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. And I'm with you. If you have natural immunity, I would be a big advocate of it. I also just want to bring a point of clarity. I mean, the church doctor has said that, you know, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines are acceptable to take. Again, we talk about the remoteness to that particular act, and these were tested, not necessarily cultured in it, and both the USCCB and the Pope said it's moral to go ahead and take the vaccine. I don't want people to think what they're doing, if they've had their shot, has been immoral. A lot of people have conscientiously objected. They might have said, yeah, the church has said that, but still, I don't want any.
Can I just say one thing? I got to say this about that, Drew. If we had taken, let's just say we had this technology in World War II, I've made this comment many times, and the doctors in Germany were able to propagate cell lines from the Jews in the concentration camps, and we were still using those cell lines to produce vaccines or medical products now in 2022. Do you think there would be an uproar in the world about the use of those people's cell lines from the concentration camps?
Sure. And there's an uproar. There's an uproar about the aborted fetal lines too. A lot of people have said. I'm just sharing what the church has said regarding that. I understand where you come from. Believe me, I totally get you. Yeah. We're on the same page. But there's a lot of people who've been vaccinated. Look at how many millions of Americans have taken their Pfizer shot, and they're good Catholics. And, you know, I always take the position I'm going to go with the church. I have friends who chose not to get the vaccine simply because of the fact that, you know, there is that connection. But, you know, your MMR as a physician, you know, has that connection to aborted fetal lines too. So, I mean, a lot of the shots that people get today have the taint of that. I've had guests on in the past that make the case we've got to stop using them altogether. But the question is the toothpaste out of the tube? Can we get it back in? It would take a great sacrifice, a lot of money to do that, and we should do it. It's the moral and the ethical thing. But right now, these pharmaceutical companies, I don't know what's going to happen. Your thoughts on that, Doctor? I'll give you the final word.
You're right. They got us over a barrel, Drew, and I can go on, but let's get some calls. But, you know, this is a real pickle for Americans to really think about. We really got to spend more time thinking about these ethical issues. But go ahead.
I love it. I share your pain with it, Doctor. I do, believe me. Andre is listening in Egg Harbor, New Jersey. Hey, Andre, let me ask you, because I'm familiar with that part of the world. What station are you listening to us on? Or are you on the app?
Well, I'm on the app, I do have a station that brings it in, but I don't know the name of it. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was wondering if it's 6:40 a.m. or we have a Baltimore station. The signal may reach you on as well. So, but anyway, it's good to have you with us. Thanks for listening to us on the app. You're on the air with Dr. Littell. How can we help you?
Thank you. I had heard, or actually had read, that diphenhydramine and other antihistamines had been proven or shown to be effective in prevention and treatment of COVID. And I was wondering if the doctor has used any of antihistamines and what he thinks about that as a possibility.
Oh, great question. But by the way, for any resources related to treatment, you know, can I just throw out a couple of big things? There's a resource that Google doesn't use, other search engines besides Google, because they block these things. But go to globalcovidsummit.org. You got a whole bunch of talks. Some of them were just given in Washington, D.C. at the Medical Freedom. And then check out the Senate, the 5 hours of Senate testimony that just happened with Senator Ron Johnson. I know you guys are aware of that, just last Monday. But that said, there's a whole cocktail of things. And yes, we use several antihistamines in the regimen, because when we're trying to stop the inflammatory cascade that happens, ivermectin is critical in that, but so are antihistamines, usually not the diphenhydramine, but one called cyproheptadine. We also use something called famotidine, which is Pepcid, which is there's H1 and H2 blockers. There's actually over a dozen medications that we're using to fight COVID, especially when we had the Delta variant. With the Omicron, we have some of them we're needing to use, but thank God for most people, it's a fairly self-limited, like a flu-like illness that they're sick for a few days and get over. So I still highly recommend all the vitamins that we've discussed in the past. And yeah, look for those other resources for the specific medical treatments for COVID. They're out there.
Bill in Chicago, you're on the air with Dr. Littell. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, guys. I am on what I think is probably due to COVID. Everybody in my family's had it, and I feel really bad. But the quick of it is, I feel like we can't cure the common cold, but I think we can cure COVID with various treatments that the doctor's been talking about. And I feel like instead of investing in these shots,
right,
we should be investing in treatments. And one of the things, ironically, just about a week ago, I happened to see a thing on YouTube about fermented honey garlic. I love to cook, and I whip myself up a batch. And the funny thing is, it's not completely fermented, but I started taking it, and already I'm feeling better. Hmm. And I have all this, I have the congestion, the low fever, the cough, I'm off a couple of days of work.
Right.
And I just feel like, ironically, these pharmaceutical companies that are pushing these vaccines may end up, you know, biting themselves in the behind, because there's so many things that seem to help the immune system and treat, whether I have just a flu for a couple of days or it really is COVID. I got a foot of snow outside. Yeah. So
hey, Bill, I'll tell you, first of all, it's a great point, one that I think deserves to be in this conversation. And Dr., therapeutics and even natural or homeopathic type of remedies, there's, you know, we know the D and zinc and vitamin C. I mean, they're all good to have in this battle with it. But let's talk about what Bill had to say there. You know, there's a tremendous push right now for vaccination. And the thought of vaccinating a six-month-old child, you know, with this, you know, version of the vaccine that came out when there's been multiple variants, and we see how ineffectual that is today. For parents, for individuals who say, hey, I've had my shot, I don't want to take any more, or I've never gotten it, what about therapeutics? What about alternative treatments to deal with this? We know, as you pointed out, ivermectin and HCQ are incredibly effective, but I thought Bill brought up a great point.
No, it's great. I mean, first of all, honey and garlic both have medicinal properties.
most of our therapeutic armamentarium in medicine comes from herbal remedies, you know, whether you're talking about aspirin from the willow tree or quinine. These are from, you know, or saw palmetto leaves for prostate. So there's a digoxin. These are medications that come from the herbal world, the plant world, and this is part of the natural law approach. What's happened with COVID, this is actually a talk I'm going to be giving in a couple of weeks. There's been a huge rejection in around the country and around the world of traditional medicine, of the medicine that I've been in for 40 years now almost, because people are fed up with this throwing pills and vaccines at everything, and they're embracing things like homeopathy, naturopathy, chiropractic, and whatever else. And I get it. I think it's great. I think here's the problem. You're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You got to be very careful. Just because many doctors are rejecting what I consider to be the right approach at this point, which is a natural law approach. And unfortunately, as I found out in the doctor's lounge yesterday, I bring up things like ivermectin, which, by the way, won the Nobel Prize in medicine as a human medicine, all right, and does have antiviral properties. You're going to see that. You can look it up right now. Incredible. We're going to start finding more and more people using ivermectin for influenza and for coronavirus. And by the way, Bill, and you're right, coronavirus is also my textbooks from the 1970s. It is the cause of the common cold. So this is just a variant we're dealing with. They will be with us forever, coronaviruses. And some will be worse and some will be better, just like with influenza when we had H1N1, and some years we just have type A or type B that are fairly innocuous. So I think, and your other epidemiology guest, Dr. Dabali, he's really good on that stuff. So everybody does, I think you're right. Take a deep breath and recognize one very important thing that unfortunately the physicians of today have had the least amount of training in nutrition. Holistic approaches are almost unheard of in medical training, and unfortunately the pharmaceuticals and vaccine industry have way too much influence over how doctors are trained, and that's what we're stuck with. So hopefully you'll find doctors who are humble enough to learn even from you as a patient, because I sure have learned a lot from my patients over the years. That's why I wrote my book, The Hidden Truth. It's the first thing I said. Go on, look at it. Women taught me about their bodies, and I realized as a doctor I was trashing their bodies when I gave them chemicals that are bad.
Doc, that's a whole other conversation. We should talk about The Hidden Truth one day. That's always an eye-opener. But look, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. Time is always the enemy. I'm approaching the, as I like to say, the end of the runway for today. When I come back, it'll be the home stretch. If you're on hold, thank you for calling. I'll do my best to get you on the air. We are taking a look at whether or not Omicron is ending the pandemic, or whether or not there's more to come, and, you know, do lockdowns and masks and everything that we've lived with for 2 years actually work? A lot of governors, even a lot of nations, are saying, we're done. We'll talk about it. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you missed any of this conversation, I got good news for you. In about an hour, Maggie, my great producer here, will have it online for you. You can say, man, I want to hear that whole conversation with Dr. Littell. You can go to relevantradio.com and check out my podcast there, anywhere where our podcasts are hosted. And I'd love you to share the show with others. I'm on every afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 on the Pacific time zone, and 2 to 5 in the Central. And be sure and join me. You can do it on the app or whatever station you're listening to, and tell others about the show. I try to give you a look at the most important issues of the day and do it through the eyes of our faith. I just try to bring truth. I try to be objective on these issues. And of course, it's a platform for you to always sound off and share your views, ask your questions, and tap into some of the great expertise like Dr. John Littell, who joins me. And doctor, a couple things I want to touch on before we jump into the phones. The first is a question that was posited in the very beginning of the broadcast. Is Omicron, you know, is it ending the pandemic? We know that as, you know, as these viruses spread, you know, they ultimately want to survive. A virus tries to become endemic. And there are experts who say this one looks like that may be the case. Is this going to be the final shot? Will we see more variants? Will it be seasonal? What do you see for the future when it comes to COVID-19 and for all of us who are listening right now?
Well, there's two things going to be going on. Number one is I believe that, yes, that the virus is learning how to coexist with us, which I know Dr. DeBooley has discussed. They've got to keep us alive to have a host to be able to be around, just like all the other coronaviruses. So it'll be around forever, and that's okay. We like that. The problem is, how are we going to react to the presence when people are shipping test kits out to every family in America and you get positive tests? And that's kind of I can say it now, I can close with my thoughts on that, but it really is true. I believe there's going to be a post-traumatic stress associated with what we've been through for 2 years that will allow this to perpetuate unless we kind of get a grip on reality and realize that this has actually become a very non-lethal variant and one that we can learn to live with and not overreact to.
You know, one of the things I think is really important, when COVID erupted, fear dominated. I mean, it rippled out as bad as this virus did. It spread. And fear is contagious, unfortunately. John Paul II, you know, that great saint, his very first words to the world when he stood on the loggia in 78 was to be not afraid. It's the message, really, of the gospel. Your thought right now, a lot of people are very fearful about the future. They're fearful about the economy. They're fearful about what lies ahead.
I'll tell you, I at this funeral I went to, I met a cousin of my wife's who just left the Mormon church. And when she was standing in front of the mirror, she heard a voice say to her as she was putting on her white undergarments before she went to the Mormon service, "Why are you doing this, my child?" And she was emotional. I mean, I gave her such a big hug because it is such a huge step out of that. And I want every listener to ask themselves, before they walk out of their home and put a mask over their face, or before they bring their child into a pediatrician's office where, God knows, these pediatricians are kicking parents out of their practices if they don't let their kids get vaccinated, not just against the old one, but the new one, the COVID. So I'm seeing a lot of parents come to my offices saying that, thank God, they have enough courage of their convictions to say, that's enough. I'm fed up. I'm doing the right thing based on what I understand or what people think, you know, Dr. Littell, if they want to listen to me, or that's what God's telling them is the right thing to do for their bodies, for their children. The only way to overcome fear in this case is with faith and more knowledge, true knowledge. Like the Pope is calling for, true knowledge based on true science, based on the natural law. So have confidence in the courage of your convictions and true science. And you won't go wrong. Turn to St. Gianna, turn to St. Joseph, St. Michael. They'll help us too.
All right, Doctor, we only have a couple minutes. Let me try to grab a couple quick calls before time expires. We'll go to California. Trisha's been waiting quite a while to speak with you. Hi, Trisha.
Oh, that's okay. Hello. Hi, Drew and Dr. Littrell. I want to say that, first of all, thank you for giving us this information. I listen to Relevant Radio every day, and I feel like I'm well equipped to say no to the vaccinations. My daughter and I, for medical and religious reasons, have not been vaccinated. She's 25 years old, and she's running into a problem right now is that she's graduated from college in December, and she's applying for jobs in engineering online. Her first job is an engineer. And almost every website for these jobs is asking you, just to apply, you have to send in proof of your vaccination. So what we're doing is I'm praying every day that the Novavax comes out. I mean, I look every day. It's like, is it here? Is it here? Is it here? I've even written our congressman, you know, please get it out there. We need other options. And she doesn't know what to do. So she's not applying for jobs right now because she can't say she's been vaccinated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doctor, let me just jump in very quickly. Novavax isn't a vaccine that has not received FDA approval yet. It came up in conversation yesterday. That, like the Pfizer and the Moderna, has also been tested in the aborted fetal line. So I just want to throw that out to you, Trish. If it's a moral issue that you're objecting to your vaccine on, that one also has some concerns. It kind of falls in the same camp, if you will, as Pfizer and Moderna, but that's just a side note. Right. You can listen to yesterday's broadcast with Dr. Jabbar.
Because it's not messenger RNA based. It's more of a traditional immunogen. But again, like MMR, they're still using the aborted cell lines. But I would say this much for your daughter. I was under the impression that OSHA and others, they have said that the Supreme Court upheld this. I would recommend that you consider submitting proof of immunity, obviously medical exemptions, and I always put reproductive health concerns for young women like her due to reproductive health concerns, and then put the burden on these employers to go after the women, go after your daughter and say, we don't give a darn about her reproductive health system, because frankly, I believe underpinning all of this is an assault on fertility, which I do talk about in my book.
Yeah, we'll bring you back to talk about that. Meg in Naperville, Illinois, you got to make it very quick if you could. Go right ahead.
Yes, as a registered nurse for the past 38 years and a mother of 8 sons, I've had experience working in a adult stem cell therapy foundation. And in response to your question, Drew, about what we can do, I think the thing we can do is we can press science, press our legislators to use adult stem therapies, not fetal stem therapies, for the procurement of medical modalities and medications.
All right. Well said, Meg. Thank you for doing that so quickly. Doctor, final thoughts from you.
Well, again, thank you for having me. I can only say, I have to tell you, I'm tired of fighting this fight. So I want to ask everybody out there to pray. Pray for more physicians. The medical students that I see are going through heck right now. If they're Catholic and they're pro-life and they want to come out on the right side, they are being persecuted day in and day out. They're trying to get residencies. Yeah. They are denied the opportunity to learn and practice medicine according to the law. So pray for the future physicians of America, please, more than ever, for the sake of his sorrowful passion. Well,
doctor, we'll do that. We'll pray for you, too. I want everyone to pray for you. Check out Dr. Littell. His website is johnlittellmd.com.